It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, did Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump get a post-convention bounce? We'll find out the latest in the polling numbers with Harry Enten from 538.com.
First, Wisconsin's Medical Examining Board recently adopted new guidelines for prescribing opioids. The guidelines are part of larger efforts from the medical community and law enforcement to end prescription drug abuse. The decision was praised by Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel, who said in a statement that it would, quote, result in fewer opioid prescriptions, a more educated citizenry, and alternative options for treating chronic and acute pain.
Dr. Patrick Remington joins us now. He's a professor and associate dean in the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, and is also a member of the Wisconsin Medical Society's Board of Directors. Dr. Remington, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon.
So what do you think about the new guidelines that the Wisconsin medical community is adopting?
Well, I think it's a good idea. It's been recognized for many years that opioids can have a downside. They're clearly useful in the treatment of chronic pain, particularly cancer-related pain that comes at the end of life. But when they're overused, they can be abused and lead to unnecessary addictions. And as we've heard, now accidental poisonings have overtaken car crashes as the leading cause of accidental death. So clearly the pendulum has swung too far in the use of opioid prescription drugs. And what we're trying to do is have a balance where it's used when appropriate, where they're used as appropriate, but not overused.
And we'll get into some of the specifics of these changes, but overall, how different, how significant will it be from the way that opioids have been prescribed in the past?
Well, this is a guideline, and it's a little bit unusual for the Medical Examining Board to be issuing a practice guideline. Normally, they license healthcare providers, physicians, and others, and also look out for physicians who are not practicing up to standards. And so that this is a bit unusual. The legislature actually enacted a law permitting the medical examining board to issue a guideline. But it is a guideline. It doesn't mandate a practice in one way or the other. It requests that physicians consider prescribing opioids sparingly, informing their patients about the potential downsides, that you could become addicted and even die as a result of an overdose, and most importantly, avoid opioids as the first option to treat pain. Really, the best approach is to understand the causes of pain and to look at non-opioid treatment options as opposed to simply writing a prescription for an opioid as a first choice.
Let's dig into some of those specifics that you mentioned. Let's start with that last one. What are some of the options that these guidelines encourage providers to make their patients familiar with before going the opioid route?
Well, first of all, many times pain can be managed without any drugs. It's up to the physician to talk with the patient about the level of pain, to assess whether this is pain that requires a treatment. Second, there are what we call non-pharmacologic treatments of of pain, so that acetaminophen or what we call the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, things like ibuprofen or Aleve, can be used. And so the most important thing is to consider whether the pain is sufficient to be treated, and then are non-opioid medications that can be used instead.
You also said that physicians were getting the recommendation to give their patients as much information as possible about what taking opioids can mean for them. What are some of the specific things that patients should know when they're starting or continuing a course of opioid pain medications?
Well, first of all, opioids aren't necessarily the best treatment for pain. I think a lot of people assume that if you don't get an opioid for pain, that you're not getting the best medicine, and that's absolutely not true. There are many non-narcotic options for treating pain, and so first, patients have to understand there are many ways to treat pain without opioids. Second is to understand that they are addicting, that people can become addicted quite quickly, and that leads to a spiral of seeking behavior and problems down the road. And finally, there are many people in Wisconsin and throughout the nation who are dependent upon opioids and who abuse opioids. And so this, if opioids are prescribed when not needed and not used, they can find their way into the community and then be used for treatment of pain, but as a drug of abuse.
So you did say, Dr. Remington, that this is not a mandate. These are guidelines. So what incentive will there be for getting doctors to change their prescribing habits and follow these guidelines?
Well, first of all, call-in or radio shows like Central Time are a good way for people to become more aware of this as a public health issue. So simply encouraging patients to talk with their physicians and even asking if you are necessary. Whether they've actually encouraged a physician to have a conversation.
I'm really sorry, but we're actually losing you there, Dr. Remington. We'll have to leave it there, but thank you for joining us. That was Dr. Patrick Remington. He's a professor and associate dean in the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He's also a member of the Wisconsin Medical Society's Board of Directors and joined us to talk about new guidelines for the prescribing of opioid medications in Wisconsin.